Some of the oldest audio recordings in the world have been digitally restored and returned to the descendants of the people who made them, the Passamaquoddy tribe of eastern Maine. Now, younger members of the tribe are learning songs and stories once thought to be forever lost. Reporter Aaron Slomsky-Pritz has the story.
Growing up, Duane Toma learned many Passamaquoddy songs from his grandmother. But the one you're hearing now was not among them. Toma learned this song as an adult, off of a 129-year-old wax cylinder recording. This recording. This song is part of a collection of 26 surviving songs, stories, and histories recorded on wax cylinders. They are the oldest ethnographic recordings in the world, made with one of Thomas Edison's brand new inventions. In 1890, anthropologist Jesse Walter Fuchs traveled to remote Calais, Maine, to meet with the Passamaquoddy and test out Edison's phonograph. In this archival recording, Fuchs shows the Passamaquoddy how the device works.
You can talk into it as fast as you like, or you can speak as deliberately as you choose. In either case, it reproduces exactly what you say.
A handful of respected members of the Passamaquoddy tribe took turns recording their voices onto 35 wax cylinders. A century would pass before the Passamaquoddy would hear these recordings again. While the cylinders gathered dust in a museum archive, many of the documented songs and stories disappeared from cultural memory, largely due to state-sanctioned policies in Maine that discouraged the Passamaquoddy from speaking their language. In that time, the rate of fluency went from 100% to around 10%. Passamaquoddy historian Donald Soctoma, who is 64 years old, experienced this shift firsthand.
I grew up in a household where everybody spoke the language, but when they spoke to me, they spoke in English.
The recordings first resurfaced around 1980. The tribe received a collection of cassettes from the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. One of the Passamaquoddy elders listened to the tapes. Here's what he heard. The quality was bad, but underneath the static, according to Soctoma, the elder was able to identify the speaker.
He did recognize the voice, and he said, "That's Passamaquoddy, and that's my godfather."
As meaningful as it was to have these recordings, they were just too hard to understand. Again, they sat in storage. Then in 2016, the Library of Congress digitized the recordings and, thanks to another advance in technology, removed a good portion of the static. For the first time, fluent Passamaquoddy speakers like Duane Toma could not only recognize the voice, they could understand the words.
It was really actually a very emotional moment for me that I am a descendant of the people that are actually documented this stuff, and to be able to understand them, it was really, really a powerful moment.
Now Toma has joined a group of Passamaquoddy elders on a project to reintroduce these songs and stories into their community.
If we didn't have access to these cylinders, these songs would never be sung ever again. To have a second life, I think it's really, it's amazing, really.
This second life involves passing on these songs to the next generation of Passamaquoddy.
So it was an honor for me to be here today to honor the students who are graduating.
Just a few miles away from where these first recordings were made in Calais, Maine, Duane Toma stood dressed in deerskins in a crowded high school gymnasium. He told the crowd of students and families, many of whom were Passamaquoddy, that he'd chosen a special song for this day.
And this song is a gathering song to bring people together as one people.
It's a song that many of their ancestors would have sung, a song that was almost lost, a song that Toma has brought home. For NPR News, I'm Aaron Slomsky-Pritz.